It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, trucking on town.
Welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed. Get your butt to Ed's Shed. Yes. Yep. And we will be there. We're going to get our butts over there again this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. With the Scuttlebutt Show and Sean Sullivan with his midday show. So from Sean will be on from 12 to 1. Scuttlebutt Show will be on from 1 till 2. So come on out and partake. And they've got some cold beverages over there, you know, like tea and water and light, tea, yeah. And water and water and tea, uh-huh. You know, and all those other
else.
And cold beverages that they might have. Yeah.
And don't forget the lemon.
Lemon, yeah. Right. but some awesome groceries, and we will be there probably a little bit before 12 and carrying on a bunch of trash and having a big old time.
Yep.
Come on, see us.
Yep. Get on out there and let's get something good to eat for sure.
There you go. Get that fine groceries over at Ed's Seafood Shed. Yes. Son, what's going on? I see you got y'all Mardi Gras up out there. You got signs all over your truck. Where's your dad burn parade? Where's your float at? You leave your float?
Yeah, I left a float at home. Yeah,
Mama's stacking the beads.
They hadn't made me start wearing the beads.
Hey, y'all need
the
beanie babies? I got some beanie babies. Yeah. Anybody need beanie babies? Try to get in touch with me. I got beanie babies.
No, we got all our demos and. Loaner vehicles, that kind of, or rental vehicles and that, courtesy vehicles, lettered up with the official trucks of Mardi Gras, UJ Chevrolet.
So those trucks, they're actually going to pull the floats this year?
We have some that are going to be pulling some floats this year. Mine's not one of them. It's, we have some set aside for that. You will be seeing the official truck of Mardi Gras pulling some the floats around downtown.
There you go. Yeah, UJ stepping up to the plate. Yes.
Yeah, they don't like us putting UJ on it when it's downtown. So when you see the Chevrolets down there,
yeah,
with all these big purple and green and yellow banners and stuff on, they're from UJ.
Okay, all right, yeah. So the insurance company might have something to do with that.
No, there's a. There's some other Chevrolet dealers around that that don't let us do that down in that area of town.
Oh, okay. All right. Now we know.
Yeah.
That's kind of like this land that they have over there on the causeway that has something to do with like a BMW dealership in Mobile and BMW dealership over there or, you know, the Toyotas and whatever. Yeah.
They draw these little lines on a map somewhere and you're not supposed to cross them.
You're not supposed to advertise beyond that land.
Yep. Yeah,
that's a bunch of garbage. You know that don't work.
No, not really. But,
that don't work.
Which we're not advertising. This is a service for the community.
All right,
so.
Let me ask you this then. I have just been infatuated with this 2019 truck, mm-hmm. The Chevrolet, and I had a chance to spend some time going over it here the other day with Kevin, and now you're talking about pulling a trailer, mm-hmm. and if my memory serves me correct, I don't think those trailers or the on the floats have brakes on them.
Probably not on those, but you know, a lot of your a little utility trailer that most people are going to pull around to haul a little trash or something in,
car trailers,
they're not going to have brakes. Now car trailers and larger utility trailers, right, and travel trailers, that kind of thing.
Where I'm going with that is you can dial in on the new vehicles now into the computer, the type of trailer that you're pulling.
Right.
And tell me, give me a little bit of insight on that.
And this has a our trailer towing system on the new 19 models, you actually go in and you tell the vehicle, the truck, what kind of trailer you're pulling as far as how many wheel brakes you have on the trailer. I mean, some are just, you know, two wheel braking. Some could be, you know, four wheel brake or six wheel braking. You also have to tell it what kind of lights you have, whether they're the regular incandescent bulb or it's LED lighting in them, because the truck needs to know this for the turn signals to work properly, for the lighting systems to work right.
Are you trying to tell me that the computer in that truck can be programmed for whatever kind of vehicle you're towing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it makes a difference. It really does. I mean, the trailer braking systems in these new trucks are incredible. I mean, they do a really wonderful job.
Well, you know, I guess it would be extremely important because you have, you know, back in the old days, we had what they called surge brakes, and a lot of the old-timers would know what I'm talking about when they used to see the master cylinders out there on the tongue. Mm-hmm. We don't see many of those anymore. I think U-Haul had some of those the last time I saw.
Right.
They still had some on some of their trailers. But now you've got electric brakes, and then you've got what, electric over hydraulic or something? Well, they have a combination of some of those?
I think there are some electric over hydraulic brakings, but you know, most everything we do is all electric, and it's a magnetic applied brake system. It's it does a very good job. I mean, we've been using those for years, and they do a good job.
Could you miscalculate applying the wrong information or something in there?
Well, you can fine tune the what they call trailer gain, trailer brake gain, which is the amount of voltage that it applies once it does ramp up. So there's a switch right there on the dash that you can adjust that. So you know, it's just like if you're going down the highway, you need way more braking than if you are sitting in traffic and holding your foot on the brake, and you go to just inch forward a little at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, you can reach over there and adjust that to make it easier to drive in traffic. Then, as you get up a little more speed, you want to be able to react quicker on your brakes. You can bump it up a little more, and then once you get to the interstate,
you know what, that would stop a lot of back or jackknifing deals that we saw back in the years ago. I mean, I've hauled trailers all over this country.
Oh yeah,
even 18 wheelers. I mean, I drove those, but I've actually had, you know, saw my darn trailer come up beside of me on occasions. You know,
yeah, I've had that happen.
And I'm going like, oh, hold it, get back in the gas, jam that gas, straighten it up.
You better hope you have enough power to pull it back straight.
Don't you know it?
And hopefully put it in a turn somewhere.
Yeah.
It'll get your attention, I promise you. I've had that happen to me.
But
with trailer brakes, you can just reach over there and hit the little switch and just stay in the gas a little bit and reach over and hit the trailer brake switch, and it just pulls it back straight.
Yeah, if you've got those kind of – when I was towing that kind of stuff and doing race cars, I wouldn't have no damn brakes. What you talking about? You know, oh, my God, I got them too, you know.
Right.
That's when you hit the brakes and one wheel locks up.
Yeah. If the truck had brakes, we were doing
good. Yeah, there you go. But, you know, that's just so unbelievable of all the technology that is out there. And to see that much involved with the towing a trailer of some sort with this with this equipment, and how unique that is, and that's just going to save a lot of wrecks.
It does, you know, and then there again, your turn signal brake lighting, you know, lights actually work correctly when you hook up a trailer to a normal vehicle and you haven't told it or it doesn't know that you have have added a bulb, it may blink really slow or it may blink really fast, you know.
Okay.
It just depends on the resistance value in the lighting system. Well, this vehicle has the capability of adjusting that. So it's it makes a big difference.
All that being said, do the LED lights take more or less energy?
The LED stuff takes less energy to work.
All right. But they look better to me.
Yeah, well, they're brighter and they're instant on. You know, it's not a incandescent bulb that's warming up. You know, believe it or not, they come on quick on the older bulbs, but it's not really instant on. It's close.
No,
but it's not an instant on. If you have two of them side by side, you can see the difference in them.
Okay.
It looks like we've talked our way through our first segment here. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on a similar
line. Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of text, we have one from James in Florida. Regarding alternators, what happens if your alternator is going bad, but you're too cheap to get a new one installed, so you decide to keep popping new batteries in instead? What are some of the problems that can occur as a result? Well, first off, I don't think you're really saving much money if you're popping new batteries in all the time.
Not if you're paying $100-something piece for.
Even if you have a couple extra laying around that you can charge and keep swapping out. The problem we have nowadays is these cars are drawing so much current. You're not going very far on the battery.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky to make it 10 miles down the road without an alternator doing something for you. You know, because everything's power. You know, you've got the cooling fans, you know, your power steering. Some of our cars have electric-assisted braking. And everything's run off computer, and as soon as it starts getting down on voltage, it starts going south.
If he's putting a battery in there and driving it for any length of time, alternator's working, but it's working on the low side, and he's probably got the high side diode out of it.
Yeah, and it's very possible, you know. And a lot of our cars nowadays are computer controlled alternators as well. They're monitoring the current. And the current usage, and that there is determining how much to how hard to run the alternator. You know,
Wait a minute. Let's say we take a fully charged battery and put it in a vehicle that's got a control like that on the computer in the alternator. Mm-hmm. So then that battery is extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
So then that alternator is not going to go over on the high side to charge. It's just going to go on the trickle side, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we actually have customers from time to time will comment, said every once in a while I look down at my volt gauge and it's on 12 volts. Yeah. And a few minutes later, and I'll look over there and it's on 14 volts. Yeah. I think my alternator's going out. Well, no, not necessarily. It's cutting back when it doesn't need the current.
Okay.
It'll cut back and it'll actually turn itself off, help a fuel economy. You know. Help cool alternator back down, do all the above, and when it needs it, it cuts back on. So it's they're doing everything they can to get fuel economy out of these cars.
Sure,
you know, the government's kind of painted us into that corner.
Yeah, that CAFE rule that they got.
Yeah, and you gotta do everything you can to try and get the fuel economy out of them. They'll turn off and turn back on, but they don't stay off long when they're off, you know. And if you got any real loads on as far as cooling fans are a big draw on them, or your air conditioner or, you know, anything along those lines, lighting is not as bad as it used to be because most everything's LED now except for just the headlights themselves.
That was going to be one of my questions. I wonder how much that is really cut off of the draw. On the vehicles,
it has helped a bunch. It really has. The current draw for the lighting systems. You know, we don't have to run it near as heavy a wire. The control systems can be controlled through, you know, computers and that without the heavy load that used to be on them.
So we're actually You know, that's kind of funny that you would try to compare that with the fact that you're lightening the load of the vehicle by using a smaller diameter wiring system.
Right, right. You'd be amazed how heavy a wiring harness out of one of these vehicles can be. And I would hate to imagine how much weight it would add if we still had to have the heavy wiring that we used to have.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, there was cars back in the Late 70s, early 80s, that was using aluminum wiring to try and lighten the weight of the vehicle.
How much trouble did y'all have with that?
We had a lot of problems with that.
Okay.
It
wouldn't heat be a factor, too?
Well, yeah, it's not a factor until there's a bad connection.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you're talking about 12 volts versus 110 or something.
Yeah, 110 would really heat it up.
Well, the houses tried that back a little before that, and it didn't work well in the houses.
I got one of them fuse boxes.
Yeah, yeah. I had one myself at one time, but it was a constant problem. Everything worked great until you get a poor connection somewhere, and it generated heat, and then it just went south from there.
Oh yeah.
So the heat, the poor connection is what generates the heat, and then it like I say, it's a problem quick. Yeah.
You know what I'm interested in? This guy says James from Florida. I just wonder what part of Florida he's in. How far he's hearing our signal.
Don't know.
If he's listening to
James,
it
if you're
podcast or something.
Yeah, James, if you're listening to us, let us know which part of Florida you're in, and if you're listening on the radio or not.
If you're in Chemuckla or Jay.
Jay or Pace or Pensacola.
Yep. Milton.
Pensacola.
Yeah,
he's from Pensacola.
All right, Pensacola. So. That's good. Glad to see the signal's getting in over there.
Myrtle Grove.
Good.
There you go. That's good.
Good to know we're getting our signal out that far. Yeah, that's a pretty good ways. So.
I would hope not. He's got I believe he's been on here before with us because
we got a west wind. It's carrying the signal.
Oh yeah, like it really goes on the air now. Come on, Charlie.
Hey, I'm trying.
You're old school, Charlie. You're thinking about AM signals.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Bouncing off of the hills out at Spring Hill and Cottage Hill and all out there.
Yep.
Where all the clay's at.
Mm-hmm.
All the old timers will know what we're talking about on that bounce signal.
Exactly.
That and your Cuban Spanish radio station.
There you go. He's bouncing off of that water out there.
Yep. Yeah, we were talking earlier about the towing capabilities of the trucks and that. And then one thing that I've gotten just completely spoiled to is the backup camera on these trucks and hooking up a trailer.
That was one of my questions. If somebody don't call in, I've got two pages here of questions that I've been thinking about on these new vehicles that I want to ask the guru here. So if you don't want to hear me talking, please call in and ask him a question. You know,
that's right.
I won't be burning up all this airtime.
But it's, you used to have to try and get it lined up, back up, get out, look, see where you're at, adjust, move, and get in and out of your truck three or four times. If you're good, you could do it in about three times. Yeah. This, I can sit right there, look at the camera, and back up and basically get out and lower the trailer onto the ball.
Unbelievable. Yeah. In other words, it's going to be no more tore up tailgates and lights.
A lot of times you'd back up until you felt it bump the tag, and then you pull forward a little bit.
You knew you was close enough.
you could just about get it from there. But
well, now talking about cameras, are they on all of the vehicles, or is that an option?
Most of our vehicles now have
probably going to be ordered with
backup cameras. Well, it's standard on most vehicles.
Okay,
you can get some really base vehicles that don't have a backup camera, but it's pretty rare. Everything we got now pretty much has it. The new, like this 19 truck I'm driving, actually has a 360-degree view camera.
Ooh,
where,
it has a fisheye picture. It's several cameras.
It's several cameras with the images overlapped and applied together.
It's like, you're going over across the bay over there. You see that big deal up on top of the battleship over there, and it's going, whoop, 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 whoop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's got one of them. He's got one of them on top of it.
Well, it's got radar sensors.
Radar.
All right. I got a question, Kevin. When you're backing up in a parking lot, two questions. Are you looking in the mirror, or are you looking at the backup camera screen?
Both.
One eye on each.
I look back and forth all the time. I mean, I've always used my mirrors to back up anyway.
Yeah,
the over the shoulder guy.
But the younger guys out there, they might not be old school enough to use the mirrors.
They tell you not to use the cameras for 100%, but you can with this 360-degree view, you can actually get an idea of how tight you can swing one out of a parking spot because you can see that front corner of your bumper when you're backing out. You know, so, because it's got cameras that give you a full 360-degree view of your vehicle.
Now, if the other cars are in the green squares, that means you're not in danger of hitting them right then.
Well, I mean, it's...
You can still back up a little more.
Right. We have our parking sensors, but it's not part of the camera system. You got your front and rear radar sensors to tell you how close you are to the ones in front and behind, and it gives you a distance, as to how far you are from the other vehicles around you.
You know that it will pick up a person?
It will. It will. Yeah. It'll pick up... up off the ground a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how tall it has to be to catch. It's not very tall, for it to catch it. And, it does a good job. Plus, it also gives you cross-traffic warning where if you're backing out and you can't see either direction, it'll give you a warning that something's coming from the side. So stop and wait for it to go by before you pull out.
Rogers like we need all that. We need all the help we can get.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We've all pulled through a parking lot and had someone just about back out in front of you.
I had a wreck in Walmart. They say it was my fault.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm backing out, and I look back. I didn't see nothing. I'm coming on back, and all of a sudden, boom, this little car come running behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Touched my bumper, my bumper touched their bumper or whatever, and it already fell off one time, and they had it put on there with some big old plastic washers.
Right.
And it knocked my bumper off, so they wanted to charge me with that accident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going, I fought it and got pictures because I jumped out, got my camera, and took all the pictures and all. But
sometimes you can't see because of the vehicles on either side.
Well, this Yahoo was coming through there like they was having a damn drag race or something,
And I love it when they're going the wrong way in the aisle.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the cars pointing the other way. You'd think that'd be a clue.
Well, you got those people. They're going to walk behind you knowing you're backing up.
Yeah.
The damn right away.
With a buggy and a baby.
Yeah.
All right, sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back with the Car Doctor Show after these messages.
Engine moaning out is one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through. See, here I am on the road again. There I am, up on the stage, here I go.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Rank along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, I guess everybody's listening to the president tonight. I think he's on TV there.
Well, I wondered, but you know what? That just means I'm going to get a chance to get a little bit better educated on our 19 models.
Yep.
He's still talking.
He's still talking.
Okay. Power tailgate. A pickup truck with a power tailgate?
Yeah, you can actually do it. You don't even have to get out your seat. Just sit there and hit a switch on the dash, and it'll drop down. When you're done, you can put it back up from there, too.
If you put it down from the inside, can you put it up from the outside?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it wasn't
– You still just hit a button on the tailgate, and it'll pick itself up. Or you can pick it up They will let you do it the hard way, which is just reach over and pick it up.
But there is a button back there?
Yeah. Yeah. It, well, there's not a handle anymore to pull to release it. There's just a push
button.
I was wondering.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Where'd mm-hmm. the damn handle go?
Yeah, it's just right there in the middle where it used to be. There's a button, you know, like you'd have on a tailgate for an SUV or something. And
okay.
You just push that, and it'll let it down, and you reach
under
there.
What about all these bed lighting and all the stuff that's in there now?
You know, they've changed the bed lighting in these things, and it's actually a lot better than what it was. You know, the lighting, instead of just shining down in the bed, it's actually, you know, from the back shining forward.
Yeah, it's not the light up above the rear view glass up there.
Right. And it's actually done a really good job of lighting up the bed in these things.
Well, it appears when I was looking at yours out there that when you could turn those lights on, I mean, it'll even look up under your toolbox.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's all those hidden dark spots that we always had in those things.
Yeah.
They're pretty well lit up now. So,
man, that's unbelievable.
Do a great job, really do.
And the rear view cameras, Al, that's on most all the vehicles.
Yeah, and they're actually, and when we were talking about the towing stuff and the rear view cameras and that, they have the capability of adding a camera where you can attach it to the back of your trailer.
Whoa,
so, you know, when you go to back a trailer in somewhere, you're not sure how close you are, you can have that up on the screen where you can look behind your trailer.
If that vehicle comes with a camera, it's built in. Is it built into
on
the plug-in?
Well, it's actually Bluetooth from the trailer. All it needs is the trailer light, park lights. It hooks to that power. And from there, it Bluetooths to the truck. And so there's no hardwire communication wires. It just sends a signal. And you can turn that camera on from inside the truck and watch it as you back up. Or even going down the road, you can turn it on and look at it.
When you learn how to use all this stuff on this new equipment, do you get a certificate of financial?
You could print off a certificate if I really wanted to. But I gave up doing that years ago. Too many of those.
They don't have enough. There's not enough walls in Mobile for you to put your certificate. Now, all this, I'm making a joke out of this on one hand, but on the other hand, all this stuff is in your owner's manual, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all in the owner's manual. And that's why, you know, I always encourage people, if you're going to buy a vehicle, go ahead, get the vehicle, let them show you things, get you set up that night or day or whatever. Drive it for about a week and then come back and sit down with your salesperson again.
Okay.
You know, because there's going to be a bunch more questions you have after that.
Okay.
That way you can really get the most out of the vehicle. Yeah. Because it does things now that you wouldn't imagine they would have ever done, you know, before. So,
well, the old days of going in and buying a vehicle and signing all the paperwork and the guy hand you the keys and say, good luck. Dude, have a good day, whatever, and you get on down the road.
Yeah.
Now you need to take a ride with a salesperson that can go through a lot of the basics.
Right. And, you know, the guys, the sales guys, they get up there, and there's quite a few training classes and demonstrations that they go through.
I'm sure they
to
have
learn
to.
How to, sure. You know, describe these to the customer. Yeah. And it takes them a while to – anytime we have a new product come out to get really up to speed on it, but they get pretty sharp on that stuff pretty quick, yeah, and get the customers comfortable with their vehicles.
Well, you know, a lot of us guys use our equipment to haul around our power saws and skill saws and table saws and stuff, and also, you know, our little compressor that we use for our impact wrenches and compressors for air and what have you, if you're around a mechanical shop or something like that. How about a 110 inverter?
These do have a 110 inverter. There's a power port in the dash and one in the bed.
That's not special order.
No. That's pretty much standard on them now.
Damn. Ain't that cool?
They're, I don't know if you want to run a power saw, depending on how much current.
Yeah,
and there's a limit in what you can run.
You have to be careful about your amperage, I'm sure. But it would also be in the manual. As to what kind of amps you could put on that.
Right. You can plug some 110 lighting, or if you want to put a stereo out back there and plug it in, turn it on, or TV or whatever, tailgate a little bit.
We'll get some jams going, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of people use these 110-powered ice box, just
Coca-Cola coolers.
Yeah, coolers. Yeah,
Coca-Cola coolers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's it actually does a good job for all that.
Well, you could go to the racetrack and you could plug your little Coca-Cola cooler in that thing and sit there and then keep your Coca-Colas cool, you know, and all that kind of in your Pepsi waters and what have you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why didn't they have these when we were younger?
Yeah, you know, it would have been really nice.
Yeah,
sure.
We'd have had, you know, kind of like the guy going down the highway with that old Lincoln Continental with a damn generator mounted on his trunk.
Or an air conditioner in the rear window.
With air conditioned, air conditioned unit hanging out the back window.
That's right. Looks like we got a caller calling in.
Oh, they're tired of me talking. That's right.
Had enough of you.
They've had enough.
Caller, you with us?
Hey, man.
Hey.
Scooter here.
Scooter, my man.
You can count on Scooter. I'm the number one sports fan, ain't I?
Yes, you are.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing okay, Scooter. I hadn't talked to you for years.
Yeah, and I hadn't talked to Kevin.
Yep.
I haven't talked to you in a long time either.
Hey, Scooter, I want to know something. Do you go to races?
I like Jeff. I like, what's this guy, Kyle Busch?
Yep.
But NASCAR ratings are down a little bit, aren't they?
That's what I hear.
Yeah, they are that. And not as many people going, but there's still a bunch of people watching. They really are. But I know
you. Are you any kind of the guy that used to play basketball at Davidson named Mike Raywinkle?
That would be my brother.
Well, he could jump, couldn't he?
He could. He didn't have far to go though. He was pretty tall, so he's taller than I am. So.
And by the way, isn't the Daytona 500 this Sunday?
It is, this coming Sunday.
It always gets higher ratings than any NASCAR race in history, don't it?
Yep. There'll be a bunch of people turn out and watch that one for sure.
You got a trivia for me, Kevin?
What's that?
You got a NASCAR trivia for me?
NASCAR trivia.
I hadn't thought about any of that today. Let's see.
Why do you think Dale Jr. doesn't race much anymore?
That's a good question.
Yeah, he.
Is that what's hurt the ratings because he's not there?
I really think that has something to do with it. Being the most popular driver over the last 10, 12 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
Since his daddy passed away.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. You know, that's got to put a hurting on it for sure.
Hey, Kevin, you want Scooter's pump?
Yep, give me a pump.
Woo!
Thanks, Scooter.
God bless you, man.
God bless, buddy.
Still kind of wish Dale Jr. had put that racetrack in here.
Yeah, I think that would have been a lot of fun.
You know what happened to that thing?
Well, a lot of people in that immediate area didn't want
No. Had all that covered. That was the deal where that's the time when the economy, we got that crunch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it happened like within 2 or 3 days.
And they kept scaling back the project until finally it just said, we're not going to do it.
Well, you know, it kept messing around with it. And then the money... It's kind of like a buddy of mine that had a problem here in town, and the money was on the check was already written and laying on the desk in New York City at the money market where they were going to get the money.
Right.
And then the next morning, because they were going to meet the next morning, stock market damn near crashed. You know, it bottomed out a little bit, and everybody got scared.
Everybody panicked.
They said, we're going to hang on to that check right there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, a buddy of mine had the same thing happen back, you know, like 30 years ago.
But that would have put Mobile on the map.
Well, you know,
I think
yes and no, Charlie. I don't think the people of Mobile would have supported it. If they would support the local track, then they would support the big track.
Yeah.
But they won't support the local track, so they damn sure wouldn't have supported that big track.
It would have depended on a draw from, you know, a couple hundred miles in all directions.
They couldn't have lived off of the track. They'd have had to have some other kind of festivals and events, and they were going to have SCCA races and IndyCar races and all that kind of stuff out there on road courses.
And drag races.
And they had plans for shops and different stores and that out there.
It was doing a lot of different venues. OWA deal that we've got over there. Yeah. And they had all these rides and everything that was going to be brought in there. It was going to be an amusement
facility
park,
yeah,
yeah,
encompassed with a racetrack.
Right, right. I tell you, it would have been a really neat deal to have seen it gone up. Yeah, maybe one day they'll do it again.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? I was at the
well, it's still when, a good when, idea.
When mm-hmm. Junior came in, you know, he came into town. He was down at the river.
He's here. A pretty nice yeah. guy, I yeah. think.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
I went yeah. to a news conference that he held and got a chance to shake his hand and say hello, and he struck me as a pleasant person.
You know what's the bad part mm-hmm. about it, Charlie?
What's that?
He probably remember you.
Yeah.
He's sharp.
Mm-hmm.
That gee, dude. I don't know if I hate to be thinking of him wasting some of his gray cells remembering me.
Remembering you.
They could be put to better use.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Charlie, yeah. he's got so damn much money now he can't spend it, so what does he care?
Yeah.
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 But he did announce the other day that he will be racing Darlington in the Xfinity series this year.
Yeah, he said he was going to run a couple of those, but that was all.
Yeah, that he's going to run a race or two a year.
That was a commitment. That he contracts that he already signed.
I'm sure.
He couldn't get out of.
What I can't believe, Tom? I can't believe that Kevin just couldn't come up with a trivia question off the top of his head.
I wrote one down, but he didn't really catch it in time.
Oh, yeah. You got to write a little faster.
Well, with Scooter, you got to be pretty sharp on trivia.
Oh, yeah.
I want to give him one. I don't want to give him something easy.
Yeah, you don't want to waste his time.
This. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, because he was going to get it no matter what it was.
No, you don't want to ask him, what color is Richard Petty's car?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Petty Blue.
Yep.
But if you can know
how many races did Richard Petty win?
Who was the quarterback? Who was the cornerback on the 39 Falcons or something?
Exactly.
And
he knows it.
He'd know it.
He is one sharp dude. Love him to death.
Sounds like we've come up to the end of our segment here, but we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Please.
Yep.
Yeah, we haven't fixed a single car.
No.
18 wheels has always been enough. I'm looking through my windshield when the sun is coming up. I'm proud to say I drive a truck. I don't think that I could sit there in an office every day, knowing out there somewhere there's a white line I can chase. Open road and a radio, my Detroit engine whines. Another load to Texas, gotta move her on down the line.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remco, along with Tom Claxton. Got any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or you can sit there and listen to us talk about the new 19 Silverados. Yeah.
Yep, we're going to do that.
We'll keep talking. See somebody that wanted to hear about
there
it.
There you go. Now, shut up, Claxton.
Got a phone call.
All right.
Caller, you on there?
Yes, sir, I am. This is the one and only Jarhead. And I'm tired of listening to Tommy talk, so I finally had to call in.
The Mason fruit jar man.
had to call and interrupt him a little bit. Thank God.
Jarhead, how you doing, buddy? Hadn't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, Tom. It's been a while. But, with all these fancy gadgets, it's one of these kids can drive anymore.
Well, some of them can't. You see where they tried to steal that damn car the other day, and it was a stick shift, and they couldn't make it go?
Oh, my God. What would have they done if they got in there and it had been three on a tree?
Yeah, that's right. That seems like that's the best security system you can have for a car nowadays, making a standard shift.
Yeah, making a standard shift, baby, you know. They want nobody to steal that. Exactly. Where are you working at now, Jarhead?
I'm still at the same place.
Okay, all right.
But, and I know they've been doing it for years on these cars, but they ought to make it mandatory to have light dimmers on those things. Because with these high-intensity lights that these people are running nowadays,
yes,
they will blind you.
Yep, yep.
Does that place you work for, do they sell those things? Have you seen any in the inventory?
Yes, they do. Unfortunately, they do. I wish they would outlaw them things because, I mean, these people with these high-intensity lights, they're going to cause some wrecks.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people don't know they got a dimmer switch.
Oh, yeah, I know, Charlie, right?
Yeah.
And they also don't know that you have to have your headlights aimed at some point in time if you change the stance of your vehicle.
Yep, yep, right.
But my question is for you, is Kevin, I got an 01 Chevy Blazer.
Okay.
And I had a heater blower that's intermittent. Is there something in the power management system or in the computer that tells this thing, okay, we're not getting enough voltage right now, so we're not going to let the fan blow a run?
Not in that one. Is that one, does it have the automatic air or is it the manual air system in it?
Manual air. But I mean, you can be going down the road and all of a sudden, boom, it kicks on, it blows fine.
Right.
I was thinking I probably got a loose connection, but you don't necessarily have to hit a bump for it to come on.
Right. Have you noticed that whether or not, say, does it only do it with the heat on or does it do it with air also?
Everything.
Okay.
Now,
have you
noticed that the 1, 2, and 3 settings are not as, say, as variable as they used to be? It's, you know, how I know some of these vehicles nowadays, they come with 1 is low, 2 is low, 3 is low, 4 is blow your hair off.
Right. Have you noticed whether the compressor turns off at the same time that the blower turns off?
Well, actually, I don't even have a compressor on it. I took that out this summer because I have a leak, and, well, the clutch actually locked up, and I haven't replaced it yet.
Right.
A replacement pulley on it and just you know, tied the hoses up, and whenever I get a chance to put that back in, I'll do that. But
yeah. Well, and where I was going with that was that the...
little bit before that compressor locked up. So, yeah, I'm just thinking I got a loose connection or a really touchy blower motor.
Well, and probably what's going on is you probably do have a bad connection somewhere. And where I was going with the whether the compressor turns off or not is that if your compressor kept running but the blower quits, then we know that the control head is actually still getting power, okay? But if we don't know that, then we could be losing power to the control head, which is shutting it down. Or it could be at the blower control itself, either the motor or the blower resistor. And what you'd really have to do is when it quits working, you'd have to take a test light and get down there and find out if you still have power on, you know, to the blower motor or to the blower resistor. And don't forget to also check the ground as well.
I'll just bring this old thing on down there and trade it in with you and take it out in a 40-acre field and put a bullet through
it
and be done with it.
Wait a minute, man. Let me have that thing.
Put it out of its misery.
I like old stuff like me.
That'd be the humane thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it out of its misery.
Wait a minute now, Tom. You talking about old stuff like you. This is not a Model T I'm driving.
Right, excuse me. I thought you said it was.
That was kind of hurtful, wasn't it?
That's all right, baby. Hey, I'm old school.
You still got all your hair, Tommy.
I know. I saw a guy this weekend, and he was, oh, man, you know, if you was old as I was, you know. I said, well, how damn old are you? He says, 68. I said, son, I'm 15 years older than you. You need to tighten up.
All right, well, guys, I'll go ahead and let Tommy start talking again.
Oh,
y'all
no.
Have a great night.
I'm tired,
Dale. Later on.
Yep.
I'm tired. See you.
All right, Jarhead.
See you, Jarhead.
Good to hear from you.
Appreciate your service, brother.
Yep. Always good to hear from him. But,
good guy.
Yep.
He's
absolutely.
A good guy. Yeah.
But, you know, there's it could be a lot of things going on with his. You know, I would have to be suspect of the either the ignition switch or the connector right there. There's a power splice right before it gets to the control head that tends to overheat. And that's kind of where I was going with whether the compressor was still running or not. If everything shuts off at one time, you got to back up and start looking at the power supply to the control head. So it's just one of those things you got to figure out what is and isn't working.
Is that the one that's got the little control head panel and right there with the radio?
01, it should be right below it with a dial type blower speed, if I remember right. It's been a few years, but the switches themselves would give up at times.
Is that switch he's talking about? If you had to replace it, is that the one that's right there by the control head?
It is. It's actually part of the control head. You can't buy pieces to it. It's so you have to buy the control panel for the AC.
Oh, Lord, okay.
You know, and And I'm sure they're still available. You may just have to look around a little bit to find.
What if not? Yeah. You can get on the internet and find them. I'm sure somebody's got all that stuff brought stashed somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, unbelievable.
I'm sure they do. I think even the aftermarket has come out with some replacements for some of this stuff. You know, over the last several years now, that's kind of the neat thing about this industry is the aftermarket has really picked up a lot of these older vehicles
and they say that you can. You could totally build a 55, 56, 57 Chevrolet.
Yep.
Totally. Just from
somebody was telling me
parts.
About a show that was on the other day that they showed a completely new 55 Chevrolet being built. Every piece on the car was brand new, nothing off of an original car.
Who was
so, body too?
Was that?
That the body, the skin, and all? Too?
The body, the frame, every piece of it.
Woo! I'd like
controls.
To have me one of those, but yep. I'd probably be $90,000.
Shoot, you probably couldn't touch it for $200. But it's you'd be dealing with all new metal, rust, corrosion, nothing. So
you're building it by hand.
That'd be a lifetime vehicle, man.
Yeah, there's companies out there now that produce the bodies to where you can. You can buy the body, and it's all new metal, no corrosion. You know, that's what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, one of the main expenses you get into is trying to cure the corrosion issues
right.
first, and then getting into doing the actual build.
Yeah,
so,
replace the floor pans and not floor pans and all that stuff.
I wish the car companies would do a limited edition and go back and retool and just run a limited number of cars.
All of us old folks would be driving them sucker, man. Right. What you talking about?
That's right.
Yep.
Don't forget, guys, Scuttlebutt Network will be at Ed's Seafood Shed this coming Wednesday.
1,300 hours.
1,300 hours. 1,300 to 1,400. Come over and see us. Sean Sullivan will be on from 1,200 to 1,300, being 12 to 1 o'clock. Come by and see us.
Absolutely.
Good
night,
thank
you, everybody, for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we will be back next week.
Hoorah, hoorah.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor, and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall.